Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bharat Forge Limited Q4 FY 2021 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kalyani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining our end-of-year results call. I hope everyone is doing well, and I'm sure this has been a difficult time for everyone. I'm confident we'll get through it. Coming to the business on hand, as usual, I have members of our finance investor relations team with me. We've had a fairly decent end to the year, which was a very trying and difficult year for all of us. All segments of export, including oil and gas, started seeing very good growth. Q4 witnessed a 42% growth in exports, driven by a 90% growth in the industrials business. Passenger car exports hit an all-time high of 164 crores. Cost pressures are quite high on raw materials and especially on logistics. Logistics costs have increased by three to four times over normal times. Despite these pressures, we've been able to expand EBITDA margins by about 300 basis points. We continue to have a strong balance sheet. We have sufficient liquidity, and our return ratios will also improve as the utilization picks up. Domestic auto sector revenue was also seeing a strong rebound, but unfortunately, as the second wave hit and the subsequent lockdowns, the sale numbers show what has been the impact. We believe that it will take at least all of quarter one and possibly a little bit of quarter two to get back to normalcy. The domestic industrial sector is also an area of deep focus and I think a great opportunity. We have acquired Sanghvi Forgings based in Vadodara under the IBC process, and we are in the process of implementing the plan. We believe that we're getting great assets at a reasonable price, and this will allow us to grow our domestic industrial business, especially in the areas of energy, including renewable, which is wind energy, hydro energy, and other allied sectors, including mining, metals, in the near future. This will be a substantial addition. In fact, their press and capacity is very similar to the press that we set up, our HFD2 press, in 2008. In terms of exports, all our segments are doing fairly well and increasingly getting stronger and stronger, and we are starting to see demand come back from oil and gas as well. We are constantly working on de-risking our export and industrial business. Our e-mobility business has now been spun off into a separate subsidiary, which is called Kalyani Powertrain Limited, and all our investments and holdings and business in this sphere come under this, so that it will allow us to have the right leadership, the right focus, and potentially also the right monetization strategy as we move ahead. Kalyani Strategic Systems has now become 100% subsidiary of Bharat Forge, pending the approval of the transaction from the Ministry of Home Affairs. I also want to apprise you that we have received from the Government of India an order for the development and supply of certain components and products at short notice, and we expect that these will be completed by second/third quarter of 2021. We are seeing, on a secular basis, substantial growth opportunities in e-mobility and in defense, and we are now looking at building a new mega site, or let's say two sites in close proximity to us and to each other for these businesses. Especially for defense, we have to go into an area which is separate from this plant because there are very stringent rules regarding locational security and security infrastructure. For e-mobility, we need to have also a supplier park and allied services around it. We are looking at acquiring a parcel of land of approximately 70 hectares in Khed, in the Khed Industrial park, which is a joint venture between the Kalyani Group and MIDC. It's a MIDC approved facility. It's a well high quality infrastructure with many manufacturing and other companies. And as I mentioned, roughly up to 70 hectares, which is about 175 acres, in two or more parcels of land. And the total land acquisition cost, if we acquire all 175 hectares, will be roughly up to 240 crores. This addresses our need of a large parcel of land close to Pune and in the proximity of manpower of Chakan, Talegaon, and such industrial areas, and this is going to happen over the next 2 to 3 years. It's not all going to happen at one shot. I think Kishore has some updates. Maybe I'll just finish the updates on the overseas operations. I'm very happy to report that our overseas operations are now finally operating at a very good level and increasing their numbers quarter on quarter. We had, prior to the pandemic, we had initiated a major cost optimization and rationalization strategy for our operations. We are now seeing sustained quarter over quarter improvement in the operations from an average quarterly EBITDA of about 5% in 18-19. Our operations have achieved an EBITDA of 10% in second half of CY20, and we are seeing a continuation and improvement in this performance in CY21 also. The capex cycle for aluminum forgings is also will be completed this year, and the aluminum forging facility in North Carolina will start in the end of 21, and it will focus on sustaining and improving this performance going ahead. If we look at our key financial parameters, as I mentioned, our balance sheet, we have almost 2650 crores of cash on the balance sheet. Our net debt equity position is 0.16, and long term debt equity on a net basis is negative. Balance sheet is strong. Our return on capital employed metrics, our goal is to get to 20%, and we are confident that by the end of this year we will get quite close to that number and keep on improving. We see some opportunities in the immediate term for growth, and we will pursue those, and we will keep you updated on what is our strategy for growing our automotive vertical, the industrial vertical, the defense vertical, and our EV and lightweighting vertical as this year progresses and we overcome all the current COVID related issues that we have. Our lightweighting vertical is the plant in Nellore and the two aluminum forging facilities that we have, one in Germany and one in the US, and these are going to become big growth drivers for us. We believe that in the medium term these are going to be the biggest opportunities for growth, and we are in fact seeing more demand than what capacities we have, and we will first start product development for new customers and then look at adding capacities as and when needed. So I really have nothing else to say, and I'm happy to take your questions and look forward to interacting with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a great performance. I'll start with exports. We have seen pretty strong ramp up both in CVs and TVs during the quarter. Could you talk us through whether current revenues which we are seeing in CVs, for example, 400 crores of quarterly run rate, is this the base revenue, and on top of this we should be building growth? Also, if you can just comment on the fact that production that we saw for the March quarter for US Class 8 wasn't very different from the preceding quarter in December. What's really happening here, and are there any supply constraints that the truck makers are facing currently, because of which production is impacted? Similarly for PVs, does 160 crores a quarter, you know, form a base for growth? That will be my first question.
Kapil, thank you for your compliments. Honestly, your questions are very bang on. The CV production in the U.S. and Europe is hampered by the chip availability. What some of the companies are doing is for a limited number, they are building trucks up to the electronics portion, and then they will separately put in the electronics portions where and when possible. Obviously you can't build any number of trucks and keep them in storage like that. Let's say that truck production is slightly higher than sales, but definitely there is an impact. We are now working with our customers and with certain financial agencies to understand what is gonna be the impact of this huge $6 trillion stimulus bill in the U.S., which is largely gonna be focused on infrastructure and its impact on transportation sector over the next two to three years, and to work out from that what is gonna be the growth driver for us. All our customers feel that this is gonna be one of the biggest opportunities, both for commercial vehicles and even, you know, pickup trucks and other construction and mining related equipment. We see a pretty good positive outlook going forward.
Okay, great. We look forward to an update there, sir.
I think, you know, you have to give us some time. You know, once the chip shortage where I think it'll get over in 2 months, you know, by the time we have our next interaction in August, I think we should be having more clarity.
Yeah. Sir, you talked about some new orders from the Government of India. Can you just indicate what area is this and what is the order size here?
It's a non-automotive business in a completely new area for us. We are converting one of our manufacturing facilities to manufacture this. In, like, literally in 3 weeks, we are developing a product, and hopefully in less than a month we will have it approved and start supplying. I don't wanna talk more because there is a confidentiality agreement, but since it is a matter of substantial interest, we have to disclose it.
Okay. One question on the profitability. We have seen a pretty strong improvement. You know, I just wanted to check, when I look at Bharat Forge International plus Bharat Forge, it seems to me that EBITDA is around 290 crores. Am I calculating this right? What is the reason that, you know, there is a difference between standalone EBITDA and BFL plus BFIL EBITDA of about 40 crores?
Yeah, this is mainly because of the stock increase and the profit which gets eliminated when we consolidate. Because since the exports are rising from a quarterly run rate of about $40 million, we are now almost at $100 million. The inventory portion is increasing, so that is the profit elimination on that.
Okay. Ideally we should look at BFL plus BFIL as the overall profitability of the business, right?
No, on a constant stock basis, you should take it. When you are ramping up, there is a stock increase. It's not gonna happen every quarter.
Got it. Got it. Understood. Yeah. That's all. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Sarda from Systematix Shares and Stocks. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Amit. Hi. Congrats on great set of numbers. Amit, my question is firstly, can you highlight what was the Q4 utilization, and how do you look at utilization? Do you look it from product segments, or do you look it from domestic versus exports?
Our utilization would be about 65%.
Okay.
Certain on aggregate basis. Certain areas lower, certain areas slightly higher. I would say I don't look at it from domestic versus exports or anything. All I will say is that with our existing capacities, I think we can very closely get to about 2,000 crores a quarter in terms of run rate.
Right. 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 Also,
please remember that in the worst quarter of the year, we had sales of just about 400 odd crores, and we had a positive EBITDA.
Positive EBITDA, yeah.
So, you know, if you see 400 going to 2000, it should give you the sense of kind of, you know, operating leverage we should be able to get.
Right, right. The second question is on, you know, KSSL. Now that we have, you know, I mean, we'll be owning 100% directly from Bharat Forge.
Yeah.
So first, could you just recap, you know, what are the operating arms and also what kind of orders do we have in KSSL? And
so second, KSSL has several joint ventures and certain subsidiaries. Subsidiaries Analogic. Then we have an embedded system subsidiary in Bangalore, and we have joint ventures such as the Kalyani Rafale, which makes missiles, and then we have other joint working programs that we work on.
Right. So, so there's the Kalyani Rafale is the one where we have a substantial order. How close is that to procurement, production or procurement?
See, what has happened is all defense orders which were supposed to happen in this period of time, have nothing has happened purely
right.
because of the whole COVID related matters and money being spent on COVID related matters and even resources. I mean, you must have seen that DRDO has been involved in, you know, developing all kinds of things, right from oxygen plants to vaccines and hospitals and things like that. So I think the whole country is basically, you know, struggling to get all the resources that it has to work on COVID related matters. So unfortunately, orders and any of that stuff, only emergency orders and emergency procurement has taken place. No
right.
large long term orders have taken place.
Sure. Okay. And the other question I had was a follow-up on the North America CV production. Like you highlighted, maybe the production numbers are lower than what kind of inventory they are building up. So could you highlight on what's the kind of run rate we have seen in Q4? And
All I can tell you is that our sales represents the order EDIs that we get from our customers. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't have more information than that right now, but all I will tell you is that they all expect continued and sustained demand and business, and I think order intakes are spiking as we speak.
Sure. And the final question is on the second list of, you know, engineers production by the Ministry of Defense.
Yeah, I know. My father has already commented on that. Yeah, I don't think there's any need for each member of us to comment on it. I think it's a good step. I think it basically reaffirms the government view that they want to indigenize manufacturing of defense, and we welcome it and we have a lot of play in this.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vasudev Banerjee from Ambit Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks sir for taking my question. Good set of numbers. Just have few queries. One is if I look at inventory number, days have moved up so much compared to last year closing. So is it just a year-end adjustment or something structural has changed?
So this is basically increase in activity levels and plus the impact of inflation. The raw material prices have gone up. So there is an inflation impact on the cost.
Sure. Second thing, to Amit sir, as discussed last quarter also, that we saw a remarkable performance for the European entities. Margin moved up to 9%. This quarter reported number is double digit. So how should one look at from a 2 to 3 year perspective? What is the leg room for that to move up?
No, so we expect the full year to be a double digit performance, and we expect every year this to improve slightly, at least till we get to about 12%.
Okay. Then last question, sir. After many months of remarkable numbers from US Class 8 order book addition, suddenly there was a blip this month. And as we discussed in the previous questions regarding production and order book mismatch, so how should one look at the sudden decline in the order book this month? Is it purely because of near-term supply issues or
It's all supply issues, and basically, you know, please understand the spending on the fiscal stimulus that's going to take place in the next 5 years in the US is going to create tremendous demand. And this is what all our customers are telling us.
Sure, sir. That's the best of luck. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Makharia from HDFC Securities. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Amit. Congrats on, you know, announcing that you're putting up a site separately for defense. You know, can you, I mean, I think after 5 or 7 years, this is the first time you're actually speaking of capacity specifically for this segment. So just wanted to know, what is your thought process here? Any numbers you could, you know, give us as to how you're seeing the big picture play out?
Okay, so let me tell you, we are going to set up facilities for 3 products here. One is going to be specialty vehicles. Second is going to be certain systems and aggregates that go into a variety of our products. And the third will be our assembly plant and testing facility for both vehicles and other systems and aggregates that go into vehicles, drivelines, including our artillery guns, etc. Basically, we are developing a whole new family of vehicles and platform, and you know, this we see opportunity at a global level.
Okay, anything on the India side? I mean, because, you know, we've already received
an order for one of the platforms for India. We're working on 2 other platforms for India. So we see tremendous opportunities going forward.
Right. Okay. Got it. Second thing is on the US Class 8 truck sales. Do you think the sales number could be 3 lakh units in the next maybe 1 to 2 years in the US? I think currently we are at about 185, 190 is what we ended last year.
You know, honestly, I don't see any reason why it shouldn't get to those kind of numbers. I don't want to give an exact figure because with regards to issues of, you know, supply chain and all that, we don't know what the current situation is. But honestly speaking, I think what is the projection that we get from our customers right now is currently the outlook for the US is, yeah, I would say 2020 is 210, 2021 will be very close to 300, and probably the year after that could even be higher.
Great. Just one last bookkeeping question. What are oil and gas revenues for this year, FY21? I think we peaked at 1,000 crores, right, earlier?
Yeah, yeah. So FY21 was nowhere near that. FY21 was you know, something like 136 crores, peanuts.
Okay, got it. Thanks. Wish you all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghunandan from MK Global. Please, go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Congratulations on great set of questions, numbers. Couple of questions from my end. Firstly, realization has gone up 15% QOQ and 8% YOY to 232 per kg. What has supported this rise, and do you expect it to sustain?
You know, what you should do is please understand that there is a steel price increase, which is seen in both top line and in raw material. So if you net that off, that is the number you should use for finding out the actual realization.
Got it, sir. So
there is, of course, more machine product also going out now, and we are seeing some amount of high value products also starting. Our aerospace business is also picking up.
Got it. So my second question was on that ATAGS guns. Media reports indicate that DRDO testing is in June. Given the progress, do you expect...
I'm not testing it. It is army user which is testing.
So do you expect progress on these projects, and, you know, how do you see the, you know, when it result in orders?
You know, as I said earlier, you know, everything is, we are almost at the point where we can now, you know, we're ready, our product is ready. I'd also like to say that our facilities to manufacture are lined up. We can manufacture, you know, 4 guns a month right now. In 2 months we can go to 6, and by the end of the year we can go to 12 guns a month. I don't think anybody else in the world can say that they can make 150 guns a year. And now that we have the Sanghvi Forge facility, even the forging will not be a bottleneck, because we can move our other forging there and, you know, focus only on guns here, or do it in both places. So that's not an issue. So we have almost unlimited capacity of making guns now.
Thank you, sir. Wishing you all the best there. On capex and investments, how much, what is expected for FY22, and also the FY20 investments? Can you share the breakup?
So FY22, our total spend will be roughly in the region of 300 crores. Okay. And next year we're looking at roughly about 250 crores.
Got it. And
this is all organic capex, okay?
Yeah.
Including investments in our US subsidiary and anything else.
Thank you. We would request the current participant to please come back in the question queue for any follow-up questions, as we have several participants waiting for their turn. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amte from Incred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Amit. This is with regard to the Kalyani strategic entity. You had intentionally kept it out, holding 49%. What's the logic to bring it completely inside, considering the defense contract needs a lot of confidentiality?
You know, honestly, the main reason is we need to meet the eligibility criteria. A lot of the programs now have net worth and eligibility criteria, and we don't want to miss out. And, you know, if we have to partner with Bharat Forge to meet those criteria, might as well have it in Bharat Forge.
And does that also raise your capital requirements to be put in there?
No.
And what is the outlook?
No. We don't. We have very minimal capital requirements there. And, more or less that business will sustain its own capital. We will need to put in maybe 50 to 100 crores at one time over a period of 2 years, but that's about it.
And second question is, you are looking for one of the largest land acquisitions, if I have to look back in your history. So in that sense, if I have to look at next 3 to 5 years outlook, you have already done one BIF acquisition. So what's the outlook in terms of capex and or the group turnover in the next 3 to 5 years? Because I never seen you guys going so aggressive on expansion mode. So can you give some thought process on medium term plan?
We'll give you more insight on that in August. But clearly the idea is to accelerate our growth.
Okay.
And, you know, we are sitting on a lot of cash. You know, it's not generating any returns for us. So it's time to put that money to work and grow fast.
Okay. And last one, any update on the Nellore plant in terms of commercialization? And
yeah, so Nellore plant has started production. We have received orders, and whatever capacity we have put in place in 3 years is fully sold out. In third year will be fully sold out. We have, in fact, a lot more demand now, and we are creating a strategy for is the next expansion we need to do. And it's not just casting, but it's a combination of casting and other aluminum products, which will help us provide solutions to our customers.
And
that's also some of the work, Pramod, that our lightweighting, our engineering center in the US is doing, is providing solutions.
Okay. Sure. Thanks, Amit. Thanks, all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amin Durrani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was actually on the Sanghvi Forging acquisition. Now, we know that, you know, the facility there and the capacities are of high quality, but the company was never able to, you know, generate enough EBITDA or cash flow. So was it just a function of lower revenues, or are there any changes that you are likely to make and, you know, to align them to your kind of EBITDA margin level?
you know, what had happened was by the time they set it up, the market had also gone down. And then they got into a spiral of issues. You know, you had high debt, high cost of interest, no working capital. You know, it's a typical debt trap that they got into. But, you know, we have a very robust plan. And, you know, we will present that to you in a, you know, at the end of the year.
Oh.
And of course, take control of that company. Every promoter is, you know, doesn't like losing their business, so they are going
to
their own offices.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Sure. And one slightly, you know, longer term question, and maybe, you know, you'll have more details later. But so most of your global truck, you know, OEM customers have been recently giving, you know, end of the decade electrification target. Now, I understand that you are not just doing engine components, you are doing a lot else with them. But at the same time, you may lose some revenues, but you will do something else on the e-mobility side. So how should we think about the next 5 to 7 years, and, you know, what are the new things that you could be doing with them as, you know, you may lose over the next 5 to 7 years some engine components kind of revenue?
Look, we have a plan that we expect, you know, a gradual decline in IC-related products. And we have a mitigation plan of how to, A, consolidate our position there and then grow our business in other areas.
Okay. 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 And that would involve having some components for the newer either hydrogen or EV products that they may come up with.
We have a lot of products that go into EV, and in fact, we are growing our business in EV, and we will give you a whole roadmap probably at the end of the year.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. I'll come back in.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viman Goel from Union Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Very encouraging to see that you're focusing, you're returning return on capital at 20% plus. Just wanted to understand, Are we really targeting some balance sheet efficiencies, or are we going to sort of look at improving margins and revenue growth? So what are we really focusing on, or will it be a mixture? So I just wanted to get some sense on that.
Sorry, can you just repeat the question? The line wasn't very clear.
Yeah, sure. Is it better?
Yeah, this is better. Thank you.
Yeah. So I wanted to understand, you know, the road, your construct for your ROC improvement, return on capital improvement to 20%. Is it going to be more of working capital improvement and capex efficiency, or is it going to be more margins improvement and revenue growth improvement led by revenue growth improvement? So what is it going to be led by?
I think it's going to be a combination of revenue growth. That's clearly the first thing. Margins, like Amit explained, this is something which we are doing constantly, and now you are seeing the results not only in India but across the European subsidiaries also. So the scale is there, the margins are there, and yes, we are now recalibrating some of our working capital to see how much we can squeeze out from the system. So I think this is it. The last one, you know, capex again is going to be fairly limited. A lot of our capex is already over in many ways. Sanghvi, some of these assets we are acquiring at very low cost. So my asset turn in these kind of investments is going to be more like 3 and 4. So that's how we are going to improve the ROC.
Fair enough. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question and congrats on a good set of numbers. Amit, could you tell us, I mean, like, in addition to the land, what sort of investment would be required for setting up this defense facility?
So I think this is something, again, you know, we are working on. There is the advantage with CADE is that it is also fairly close to our existing facility in Mundhwa. Mundhwa, we have no land available, but we have a lot of capex already installed here. So the plan we are working is that we will use a combination of the existing facility here as well as minimal capex at CADE, you know, to optimize the requirement. This is something which will come by, this is something which we will come back to.
So we are setting up interim facilities, and we have smaller facilities which are already doing these products in either Mundwa or at a rented facility where we are doing for the emergency procurement. Large part of the equipment is already there, what is needed. It will just be moved from there to a new facility at a larger scale and with more, slightly more manpower, so that we can have a more streamlined, scaled up production facility. And the capex for that is very low.
Okay, okay, got that. And just in terms of what is the outlook on the oil and gas side that now you're seeing, you mentioned
strong
that there's a revival.
Right now, strong demand.
Okay, but could you sort of quantify that? Could we get back to 50% of peak, or where do you see that?
I think we'll get to 50% of peak is a fair number, yes.
Okay, and just lastly, on the India truck side, I mean, like, we did see a sharp slowdown for the OEMs even in the month of April. I mean, when so it does seem to suggest there was some amount of channel inventory issues as well. So how do you see the outlook for India trucks for this year?
Very questionable. I expect second half to be very strong, first half to be quite weak. And from second quarter, it should start picking up.
Thank you. We will just the current participants to please come back in the question queue for any follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Nishant Vaz from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the good results. So just a small clarification. First, on your CAPEX, you mentioned about the CAPEX number, you included the CAID investment. Is that correct?
CAID will happen over 3 year period. It's not going to happen in 1 year.
No, so will you be expensing anything out this year?
It is included.
Okay. Okay. Second is, can you share the 4Q number for oil and gas? Because if I remember last quarter, you mentioned $10 million as your revenue for oil and gas.
I don't know. I can't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying the oil and gas revenue for exports last quarter you had mentioned was around $10 million.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
You shared what was it for Q?
So this quarter is a little higher, about 40% higher than that.
Okay, so around $14 million. And my last question is on in the domestic industrial business. So could you shed some light on what is driving the increase? Yeah, so I was. My question was a domestic industrial.
Hold on. Last quarter, the oil and gas was almost zero. Okay, that is Q3. It was almost zero. Q4, it is like 5 to 6 million.
Okay, 4Q is 5 to 6 million.
Yeah. Great.
Thanks for that clarification. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. So first thing is, beginning of this year, you had kind of elaborated on a cost-cutting plan that you had, which is like a structural reduction in some of your costs. And you said that by this year end, we'll be kind of done with it. So are we entirely done with that initiative that we had planned?
So we're not completely done here. I would say we're done with about 75% or 80%. 20% is yet to be done. And that will happen in the next, I would say, 6 to 9 months.
Right. Okay. And secondly is on the, obviously the MEIS benefit is not there anymore, but any update on the RODTP scheme?
Your guess is as good as mine. Well, we know they are hoping to do something and planning to do something, but I think half the small, we have to wait because again, nothing has come out yet.
Right, and whenever it gets announced, we'll be kind of able to retain that benefit that we get, or would it have to be passed through?
No. This is come to us. This is no pass through.
Right. Okay. Thanks. I'll get in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kalyani for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your participation and your interest in our business. Once again, I sincerely wish you all good health and safe and well-being to you and your families. these unprecedented times that we are going through as a country, and as a business, we have tried to do the best possible without endangering, you know, the operations or putting anybody at any undue risk. You know, I must say that I'm very proud of the team that we have in our company and all the people who are very committed to our company and to its success and have put in extraordinary efforts in bringing operations back to this level at such difficult times. Undoubtedly, we see a good future ahead of us, especially next quarter, quarter after that. And I'm certain that we will be able to, you know, give you a positive outlook and keep you positively satisfied with what we do. Please do, you know, keep your engagement with us, ask us questions, give us ideas, and, you know, it's a two-way street. You know, we learn from you, you will understand what we do, and we look forward to, you know, being associated with each other for a long time and growing our business. Thank you very much and have a nice weekend.
Thank you. On behalf of Bharat Forge Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you everyone for joining us, and we now disconnect your line.
Thank you, Bharat.